Today in the Gospel, we continue last week's discourse, which Jesus gave in his hometown in Nazareth. Initially, the people, the listeners, are sort of excited. You know, they're pleased. Oh, here's a hometown boy. Here he is. He's speaking to us. This is great. Isn't he a good speaker? Look at him. Oh, this is wonderful. And yet, then, the crowd also seems to be thinking to themselves a little bit, who is this guy? You know, isn't he just the carpenter's son? Where did he get all this knowledge? Who is he to teach us? Jesus' next statements really got the people kind of wound up. He declares that no prophet is acceptable in his native place, kind of implying that he's a prophet. Then he goes on to mention two miracles which God worked in the Old Testament through Elisha and Elijah for Gentiles, not for the people of Israel. And the response of the crowd is to become furious. They're angry. They're angry at Jesus' words, and yet Jesus only spoke to them the truth. He only spoke to them what remained true. But these truths were kind of inconvenient, didn't really go along with the storyline that they wanted to hear. The truths did not correspond with that narrative which they understood the Messiah to be. Jesus knew that his words would not meet with acceptance, and yet he continued to speak them. Is it a good thing to speak hard truths or words of correction when we feel that the message will not likely fall on accepting ears? It takes a truly humble and docile soul to receive correction. If you've ever been corrected, you know that, right? If you ever have had to be in that situation where you have that uncomfortable role of correcting somebody, you know it's not easy to do. Would it have been more loving for Jesus not to have confronted people in his ministry? We know that the answer is no. We know that Jesus always did the right thing in the right way at the right time. So his message was appropriate, even though it upset his listeners. His words were necessary, even though it didn't convert the hearts of his audience. The choice of how to respond is always up to the listeners. When we are convinced of a truth which God speaks into our lives, we are always free to respond. Am I going to follow that conviction, that recognition of truth, or not? We will be held responsible for our choices, of course, and it may be that a person needs to wrestle with something for a while before they can really say, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to follow that. I'm going to change something in my life. Is it worthwhile to risk the wrath of a loved one, of a friend, by challenging them in some area of their lives which is in disharmony with God's will or with God's plan or God's law? Certainly it is. It is. Always it is, when done in love. We need to remember that though Jesus' words and his corrections weren't always easy, they were always spoken out of love. Always with the intention of bringing somebody back, reconciling somebody, helping to overcome a rift that had developed. And he never belittled anyone. He never taunted anyone. He never spoke in sarcasm with anyone. Instead, he spoke directly. He spoke truthfully. And he always spoke from a place of love. The messages of warning and correction or love which Mother Church speaks in the world today are often rejected. But that is no reason that the prophetic message should remain unsaid. St. Paul writes to St. Timothy in his first letter to Timothy, he says, "Preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and teaching, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. As for you, always be steady, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Itching ears, isn't that great? Isn't that the essence of what we experience so often in today's world? People prefer to live in a make-believe reality rather than entering into that truth. On every moral issue where people choose to part from God's revealed law, the end result is pain and suffering. disillusionment. And ultimately, we can choose to separate ourselves. That's a choice that God gives to us. We can go our own way. We can follow our own ideas, our own notions of what we think things ought to be. But we can only blame ourselves then when we suffer the consequences. In the face of a cultural confusion and really a social suicide that we are seeing developing around us, we as Catholics are called to be faithful, to faithfully love those who are before us, whatever their choices are. If we sink into hatred, hardened hearts, rebuking, if we make ourselves the judges, we will miss our opportunity to be that healing balm which Christ and the Church is meant to be. Why is it that St. Paul, his letter to the Corinthians, first letter that we heard from today, is so often quoted and read at weddings? I think it's because that's the kind of love that we each are made for. That's the kind of love that we all want. But how willing are we to love in such a self-sacrificing way? Words are pretty easy to speak, but a lifetime of loving people in this way will cost us dear. It can only be done when we allow the Lord to do it through us. It's this kind of love that converts hardened hearts. It's this kind of love which saves us from ourselves, keeps us from turning inward on ourselves and experiencing that challenge of just being kind of self-centered, self-focused. Love is willing the good of the other, and that means submitting ourselves to the will of God and responding in obedience to correction. It means being patient and kind. It means we aren't rude or quick-tempered. Rather, it means rejoicing in the truth. And when someone turns back to the truth, we take joy in their return and readily accompany them. We bear all, we believe all, we endure all for the sake of the other. In the face of the toxic choices people are making today around us, this kind of love can only be accomplished when we have supernatural charity. So in conclusion, let's reflect on a couple questions. First, are there truths which God has made known to you, which you are unwilling to hear right now in your life? And secondly, is there someone in your life who you are called to love, who has made the decision to turn away from God's truth? How do we love them? May God help us to be bold, prophetic voices who speak the light of truth in the gloom that surrounds us, and may we never tire of sharing God's love with those who the Lord puts in our path.